Hello, I'm Elizabeth, an obsessive backyard gardener who might be able to offer you a couple of tips.
And I'm Keith, a landscape consultant, and I'm also passionate about gardening.
The one thing we both have in common is
muddy boots.
We all use herbs almost on a daily basis to add flavour and colour to our cooking. And every gardener loves to grow beautiful scented herbs in their gardens, but they also have their own set of health-promoting properties. On today's podcast, we have a special guest who is going to tell us all about them. Her name is Elle Jenkins, and she is the founder of Australian Medicinal Herbs. Welcome, Elle.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you so much. Firstly, very importantly, thank you so much for our lovely gift of herbal teas and tinctures. That was just a most beautiful package. The packaging is so pretty to start with, and the products are fantastic. I've been using the Tulsi, is it Tulsi tincture? Every day as I'm at the end of a rotten cold. So the timing was absolutely perfect. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I hope you like it.
Yeah, absolutely gorgeous. We would love to know to start with where and how your love of herbs began.
Okay. So I was a police officer and I worked for the police for 17 years. And I came to the end of that 17-year period after a shooting. Had a bit of PTSD from that. And from there, I didn't really know who I was or what I wanted to do with myself anymore. So I just spent a lot of time outside in the garden, like propagating and growing food for my family. And I thought, oh, maybe I'll go to TAFE and learn how to propagate and to grow plants properly. And from there, I went to TAFE and I met another student who asked me if I had a particular plant that she needed for a medicinal use. And the question she asked me just completely changed my life. I'd never thought about it before as plants, as medicine. Like I thought about them as being food and I thought about them as being pretty, but I'd never thought about them as actually being medicine. Mm. And that question that she asked me just took me on this rabbit hole of just self-guided learning and going to courses. And I did started a Western herbal medicine degree. And then, I became obsessed with medicinal plants.
You're off. Yeah. So she really took you on that. Thank goodness she asked you that question, took you on that path. Mm-hmm. And after you said you were in the police force and you'd suffered PTSD, obviously being in the garden was really therapeutic for you as well.
And I'd just like to add that great thanks for your service, Elle. It's just fantastic. I have a nephew and a niece who were both out of the police force on the same thing, PTSD. Mm-hmm. They're in there for a long time. Yeah. It's a horrible thing.
So you've done, and doing what you are doing is obviously an extreme, another extreme to what that was. So that's, I understand. We completely understand why you're doing that.
Yeah, thanks. If I tell my old police friends that I do medicinal herbs, they don't really believe me. They're like, what are you talking about? Everyone sort of gives you the side eye when you say medicinal herbs. It's interesting. So I started taking things like lemon balm or passion flower to help with my PTSD because they're nerve ions and they help to calm the central nervous system.
Yeah.
So, those I found those really helpful.
Now, I understand that you grow, process and sell your range of herbal teas and tinctures direct from your farm. Is that correct? Everything happens.
That's correct.
Gosh, how do you do that?
Yeah, from paddock to packet. I've got a little drying facility on my property and processing facility, and it's all hand done by myself and my daughters. So,
So your daughters are full-time as well?
Daughters are teenagers and they are of assistance, but they are also teenagers and like to do teenage things as well. So,
when it suits. I was just saying when it suits them. They'll be helping you when it suits them. Yes, I can imagine.
That's all right, teenagers. Yeah. I've got another farmer now that's also joined in, and I'm also getting his produce as well and just certified organic regenerative farm.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
Brilliant. I did read that you've got a bit of a community. That's one other farmer, because I sort of got the impression that you had a community of farmers working alongside you.
Yeah. There were a few, but the rainy season, it's because it's so rainy over here in northern New South Wales at the moment, a few of them have pulled out this season just because it's not really drying weather, but I've got a facility to do it, so it's a little bit more difficult for them with no facilities. So.
Well, it's great to hear that you're using regenerative processes, farming practices to grow the herbs. What sort of condition was the soil in when you started? Was it, did you really have to work hard on that soil?
Yeah, the soil here, just on my property, it was really hard clay that was completely deficient of nutrients and calcium and those sorts of things. I've really had to sort of add a lot of organic matter and put in compost and mulch the soil. And initially I started doing raised beds whilst I was trying to improve the soil. I also got animals, so I've now had chickens on. So I had chickens over the land, and I've also had pigs over the land to sort of improve their fertility of the soils as well.
Mm. Brilliant. That's a great practice, great way of building your soil health up, isn't it? It's a terrific way.
Yeah.
A lot of the herbs that you're using, are they mainly Mediterranean varieties that you're using, or where have you sourced the particular varieties that you are growing, for instance?
Okay, so the passion flower, so the Passiflora incarnata, is from America.
Mm-hmm.
So those seeds came from America. The Roselle or Rosella or Hibiscus sabdura, yep. That is, I believe that's from India.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of like grows in the Indian sort of areas, and as is the Tulsi. So the Tulsi, Ockhamum sanctum or Ockhamum tenuiflorum,
mm-hmm.
I think they come from India. What else is it? The lemon balm. So the other two are sort of more European. So we've got the mullein or the Verbascum taptus.
Yep.
That comes from Europe,
yep.
As does the lemon balm. So they're sort of more like rainy climate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, the mullein's really popular, isn't it? It's one of your most popular products,
is it?
Tell us about the benefits of the mullein.
So the mullein is a respiratory herb. So it's an expectorant that helps to clear out the airways. So if you've got a cough or cold and you feel quite congested, or you've got a runny nose and that sort of thing, it helps to remove the mucus from your body.
Okay. How are you promoting these sort of products? What is the way of promoting to get out to as many people as you can?
I'm starting a YouTube channel.
Fantastic.
Just to teach people how to grow and how to use them and to like make different things. So I'm doing that. I'm with Instagram and those sorts of things. Not so much Instagram. I'm terrible at social media.
You've got teenagers. What about those girls?
Yeah, they're doing the TikToks, they're busy dancing.
You have to pay them to help you, I think, with that.
With the verbascum, that's a rather big plant. I mean, that takes up a fair area. I mean, it gets very, very tall, but it is a big plant, isn't it?
Yeah, they are. I harvest it, so you're thinking of the second year when it's in its second year of growth,
okay,
when it grows very tall and it does the flower.
Yep.
And the flower is highly medicinal as well. I use that for earache oils, mm-hmm. and those sorts of things. But what we want when we're harvesting the verbascum is you want it sort of like maybe a little bit bigger than dinner plate size, about 35 centimetres like in diameter,
mm-hmm.
and it's the first year and the big fluffy sort of whitish leaves, and that's when we harvest it. For medicine for the lung.
Yeah.
So you use both fresh and dried herbs in your products, is that correct?
No. So we have to dry them in order to ship them, because otherwise there'll be mold issues. But if someone was to grow their own, of course you can just go out to the backyard and pick yourself some leaves and then have your tea fresh.
Okay. That was going to be one of my questions. What advice can you give anyone wanting to produce a tea from their own herbs? Is it as easy as that? Picking some fresh herb, some fresh leaves and popping them in the tea? What do you do?
Yeah, it's easy as that. So what I would suggest is obviously you decide what it is that you need. So you think about what ailments you have, or what ailments maybe your family would have, or ailments that some like local community members have, like for example, if there's a bout of COVID going, so you would grow that particular plant for that particular ailment. My daughter at the moment, she's got a bit of a sniffle, so my go-to plant would be lemon balm for her. So just it's antiviral. So you would go and you grow that particular plant, get the lemon balm, and then you go and take maybe a handful of lemon balm if you can have it fresh, and you bring it inside, and you just put boiling water over the big handful of leaves, and then you leave them for 15 minutes, and you've made your own tea.
Fantastic.
You can do it a little bit more high tech and dry it if you've got drying facilities or like a dehydrator or something like that, or somewhere you can just hang it in your room to dry off. But yeah.
And that means that you've got it then all year round by doing that.
Yeah. It's so sustainable as well. Like, you know where it come from, you know what's on it, there's no nasty chemicals.
Yeah.
It is as easy as growing a plant and bringing it inside and having it as tea.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been to the Adelaide Botanic Gardens at all?
No.
Well, they've got a whole area set across there, which is just for medicinal herbs, and it was just absolutely fascinating to go and have a look at, you know, what they are actually growing and all the explanations of it. The little thing that bothered me about was the self-medication, you know, going around and self-medicating. I'm a little bit frightened about that. I know it's a bit silly, but
you think you're going to have an overdose or something?
You just don't know what you're having. And this is probably where going to someone like yourself is going to be a far safer proposition than going out in your own backyard and just trying to use just about anything that, you know, you see there. I mean, there are problems with certain herbs, for instance. So using someone that knows what they're doing is the best way that I would suggest that people involve themselves with these medicinal herbs, for sure.
Yeah. I would say just a little bit of self-education goes a long way. So if you have significant health issues already and you know that, say, for example, you're on medications for heart disease or something like that, you really do need to just check and make sure there's no contraindications with the medication if you're going to grow a plant and use it as tea. But also, like, if you don't have significant health issues, like, maybe just do a little bit of research on that plant and see if it's suitable for you. There's a lot of information online. There's so many books out there that can tell you, you know, what things you can and can't have. Mm-hmm. And, it's really a very sustainable way of growing your own medicine and looking after yourself.
Mm. And, I mean, most of today's medicines actually are derived from, you know, herbs and trees and all sorts of things. I mean, I guess the one that stands out to mind is aspirin, for instance, which comes from the willow tree. You know, so everything has a start.
has a fresh start and changes slightly as through the process. Yeah. So going back to Australian medicinal herbs, what other teas and tinctures are you producing? Can you just give us a quick rundown on what you've got there?
Okay, sure. We do the lemon balm. That's our anxiety herb. So it's really good, as I said, for a nervine. So it helps with, say, you're anxious or you're overthinking or you're worried about something, as well as being an anxiety plant. It's also, like, it's antiviral. It helps to suppress the herpes simplex virus, so for cold sores or those sorts of things. So that's the lemon balm. We've also got passion flower or Passiflora incarnata, which is a nervine. Also, it's a climbing vine that's similar to the passion fruit that we eat, except it's a different species of the same genus. Mm-hmm. And this one's a specifically medicinal one, and you don't really eat the fruit. It's more so you have the leaves and the flowers as either a tincture or a tea as a nervine tonic. Mm-hmm. And it's really useful for sleep. So it's good for, good to know. At the moment I'm teaching my daughter to drive. She's an L-plater and it's quite stressful. just to sort of take the edge off the nerves when she's driving, I, take passion flower, for example. And it's also good. It's been scientifically proven now, the passion flower, to help you to sleep deeper and longer. So they've done many, many studies on it, and it's now, if you have sleeping issues and you can't get to sleep, it's now proven to show you to get to sleep faster and you sleep longer, which is really interesting. Mm. It also doesn't sort of make you groggy like sleeping tablets do. Mm-hmm. So that's why I really like the passion flower. So the mullein I've already spoken about. And the tulsi. Tulsi is an adaptogenic, which is, it helps your body physically respond, or physically and emotionally respond to stress. So it works with your body system to sort of rebalance them. So, for example, someone would use tulsi as for menopause, for example. So if you've got hormone imbalances or you've got mood imbalances, tulsi is the plant for you. So that's what one would use tulsi for. Also, say, for example, you're going to go on a cross-country hike or run a marathon or something like that, it helps your body to physically respond to that stress. So you would probably have that as like a pre-workout, for example. What else is there?
Hibiscus?
Oh, the hibiscus. So hibiscus we promote as our immunity tea. So it's got those bright red fruit calyces. Yep. It's also known as roselle.
Yeah.
Often people know it as rosella or roselle. And most people know it to make a beautiful jam. But not as a jam. If you use it as a tea, you get all of those beautiful benefits, as well as we use the leaf with ours, so which is completely full of iron and all these other phytochemicals, mm-hmm. which is really beneficial for women. So you've got the vitamin C, and it's really good for lowering blood pressure and cleansing the liver as well. So, yeah. And it makes this, like, bright red, beautiful, delicious tea. So, yeah.
Sounds gorgeous. Sounds really delicious. Yeah. And sounds also very zen and calming, and is what we all need in our lives. I think a bit more relaxed.
You do indeed.
A bit more, less stress. So all of those products sound amazing. Oh, thank you so much. How is the business going? Is it expanding? Are you trying to keep it small? What are your plans with the business?
So I'm hoping to get more farmers on board, like regenerative organic farmers. I'd like to take it to the world. At the moment, I've just started up international shipping. So I've got a couple of orders trickling in from America and those sorts of places. I think herbal medicine is really sort of taking off when people are going, hang on, I don't want to be using chemical pills that I don't really know where they're coming from. And they're sort of thinking, I have this problem. Maybe a softer, more gentle solution could help. And that's where herbal medicine's coming in. So, yeah, I'd love to be able to give people an organic Australian-grown version of that.
Absolutely.
How was the process for attaining organic certification? How did that go for you?
I'm not certified organic. The right. other farmer right. is certified right. organic. Because I did organic production horticulture at TAFE, and mm-hmm. I'm a permaculturist. I have big feelings on yep. organic certification.
Yep, fair enough.
And I feel like I feel like you're just going to have to trust me. I have very big feelings about chemicals and those mm-hmm. sorts of things, and I absolutely am all about regenerating the land and making it better for future generations, and I don't want to have to pay someone to say that I do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not fair
That's
enough.
How I feel about organic certification.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Good.
Fair enough too. Yep. Well, I can't think. What else have we covered, Al? I mean, we'll get Brett to edit this bit that I'm saying now. Is there anything that you feel that we haven't covered that you'd like to talk about?
No.
No?
No, it's all right.
Well, it's lovely to meet you. Thank you so much. It's been a really great pleasure. And we've got to send everybody, please, to go and check out australianmedicinalherbs.com.au to look at these beautiful herbs to start with and to buy them.
Packaging is absolutely sensational. Yes. So they will make fabulous gifts for just about anyone.
Mother's Day presents. Get on board, everyone. So, look, we wish you all the best with the business. It's been lovely meeting you and lovely having a chat. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was nice to talk to you too. Thank you.
Thanks, Elle.
Bye.
Good luck.
Bye.
Take care. Bye. Thank you for listening to Muddy Boots. For more information on today's podcast, please go to muddyboots.net.au. And happy gardening.